Speaking of the Chapel Hill Public Library, it is time now for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who joins us here in the studio and heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a busy week.
A little bit.
It's about to get busier because back to school time is here.
Yes.
So if as busy as it's been and as chaotic and as tumultuous, like this is the start, right, of the school year for UNC, for Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. Like it's overwhelming and we're 2 days in.
So right, like I was thinking about this. We've got songs for the end of the school year. Mm-hmm. School's out for summer, no more pencils, no more books, all of that. What do we have for the, end of summer, back to school? Is there a song for that?
Some dirge, I think, like something.
Right? So, yes, it is.
Actually, yes.
What is it?
We're Gonna Be Friends by the White Stripes. It's the opening, the theme song for the song that plays over the credits of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
Yeah. Fall is Here, Ring the Bell.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's
that one.
That
one song.
Good job.
Yep.
But
ring, that might be it.
Ring, ring goes the bell, back up in the morning and back to school. What's that one?
Oh, yeah. It's not Riding Around in My Automobile.
It's Chuck Berry.
It's the other Chuck Berry song that uses the same, that one.
That one.
Yeah.
Tell the teacher she don't know how mean she looks. Sorry, we've got a show to do. But in the back of my head, while we're talking, I'm going to be trying to think of what that song is.
Back to school.
I bet
songs.
My marketing dude's going to text me.
Probably.
Daniel, the marketing dude. Anyways, if I seem a little addled, it's not because of the heat. It's because of the change of the season, right? So we are finishing an incredibly successful summer reading season.
The song is called School Days, by the
school
way.
School Days.
School Days.
There we go. Thank you.
Anyway, so
we've talked about how busy summer is, which is awesome. And then right as we're like realizing, oh, summer's over, we can breathe for about 48 hours mm-hmm. because school is starting. So we're getting the back to school crowd. We love seeing UNC students in the building. We have lots of teachers coming in the building, lots of parents, tutors. So, it's great. It's a great thing to have. There are many public libraries in many places that do not have this problem. So this is not me complaining. This is me celebrating and celebrating my staff who navigate us through all of these seasons. Actually, I was just today over at the curriculum day for the Chapel Hill Carborough Schools for their middle and high school folks talking about resources at the library to support their curriculum. And
awesome.
They were all ready to go back to school. It was great to see them and super engaged and the only person who looked more ready for school than them was me because they're about to take my children.
Yes, yeah. That's the little piece of like, summer's over and like
right.
that weight has been lifted off of my shoulders for a couple hours a day.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You just have to deal with everyone else's
kids
for the same couple of hours a day. So
But speaking of school,
we
just put out this cool thing today.
You gotta talk about this initiative because this is awesome.
So if you got our newsletter today, and if you don't get our newsletter, you can go to our website and sign up for it. It's an e-newsletter. And there will be a press release coming out in the coming days about this. But we are launching, and this has been almost 2 years in the making. So it seems it will sound very simple. It's been very complex, but we are launching with the start of the school year what we are calling the IDEA Project. And we're calling it that because starting in September, for staff, teachers, and students of Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, their ID gets them easy access, so IDEA, ID gets you easy access to the library. So this is part of a national effort, and in fact, this got started here locally in 2016, I think, when there was a national challenge issued by President Obama called the Library Leaders Challenge, and so it asked local elected officials and local superintendents to sign on to support giving K-12 students the most frictionless, easiest access to library resources to support their learning. So we had Mayor Heminger and then Interim Superintendent Jim Cosby sign on to this challenge, and that's what sort of kicked this off. And then over the last almost 2 years, we've been working with agreements and MOUs and data sharing and FERPA and policies and procedures. And
tell me the truth. Most of the work went into coming up with the acronym, right?
I mean, that was the fun part, right? That was the fun part. And it looks great, thanks to Daniel, the marketing dude. So we have a joint agreement. And so how this is going to work is the schools, as part of the beginning of the year process, will manage an opt-out process. So anybody, any parent who does not want their child to be able to access library resources using their school ID number can opt them out. And then after that, basically, two things will happen. One is if you already have an account, if you're a student and you or a teacher or a staff person, and you already have a library account, this will just be an additional way to access it. So you will still have your barcode and your library card number will be active, and you can use your school ID. And the reason that we did that is we had this aha moment a couple years ago where I think my kid was in like second grade at the time. He couldn't tell you many things in life, couldn't find his card, but he could tell you what his school ID number is. They all know it early on.
Right.
So if you already have a library account, this will give you a second number to access it. And if you don't, we're going to go ahead and create an account for you.
Awesome. Just automatically.
Automatically.
Nice.
So,
like voter registration should be.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a little opt-out process. Then we have to do a little technical data sharing thing. And the only data that we're going to collect is the data that we need to create the account. So the schools collect a whole bunch of data. We're not taking any of that. We're only taking the stuff that we would take for a normal card. And then after that, a student who's, you know, last minute cramming for a paper on Sunday night and their parents realize that they don't have that they haven't been able to get to the library to create an account, they don't need to. The student can log on to our databases with their school number. It's a really, really cool project.
That's awesome. And this applies to teachers too, or
teachers and staff.
Nice.
Anybody that has a Chapel Hill Carver school ID can use that to access their current account and create a new account.
So the obvious question here, a lot of Chapel Hill Carver City School employees don't live in Chapel Hill, them too?
Oh, yes. So
everyone, yeah.
Yes, so about a year or two ago, the Chapel Hill Public Library Advisory Board took up the question. So before this, if you worked for Chapel Hill Schools but you lived in a different county, you had to pay the $65 out-of-county fee. The board recommended that we drop that fee for Chapel Hill Carborough City School teachers. We added on staff because we felt like staff played a real key role.
Already.
And then council approved it. So for the last year, all staff and teachers can get a free account, and now they can use their ID to access that.
That's awesome.
We're really, really psyched about this.
Has that begun now? Is it like about to start?
It will be live. So what we want to do is the schools manage the opt-out process. Mm-hmm. And that happens. There's, you know, checking boxes and papers come home and new students have to go to Lincoln Center and all of that. So we're going to give it a couple weeks to give folks the ability to opt out. And then we have to do that technical thing. We think that this will be live second or third week of September, maybe earlier, but that's sort of what we're shooting for.
That's really cool.
And this
cool.
is part of a national movement. Now, my dream is, I'm just going to tell you, we haven't quite figured it out. We've kicked around possibilities. My dream is to take this and model it out. So anybody, figure out a way that anybody that's technically eligible for a card, just go ahead and create a card for them. And we've thought, could we do it through like utility bills or property records, or we haven't quite figured it out, but there's a thing there.
Wow.
I don't know how we do it.
That's almost spooky.
Right?
We'll just access your information and give you a library
card. Just create
card.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're eligible to have this service, we would set you up to do it, right?
Well, I mean, like voter registration should be. Like,
there
we talk about this with voter registration. Why not library cards too?
Right.
Like, if you live in Chapel Hill, you're eligible. Boom. There you go.
Right.
I like that.
So that's what we're kicking around, and we're pretty excited about this to start the school year off
with. Nice. So speaking with Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library, we'll be talking more about that as we get into September and the program goes live. Stuff is happening this week as well. I mentioned that the library is hosting the open house tonight, but tomorrow evening is the next round of the Great American Read.
It is. And actually, I will mention this afternoon, it's actually probably finishing up right now. I said that we finished up our crazy summer season, we're starting our crazy back to school season, but our staff is like, why don't we host a giant Harry Potter trivia this afternoon and have gobs and gobs of middle and elementary school students come in. So that is happening right now. We've done it before, and the demand was huge. So today was kids only. We've done two rounds of it, and it was just awesome. I mean, just gleeful Harry Potter nerdy kids.
I like that.
In the best possible sense, in their robes and their, what do they have, wands?
Wands,
you know me,
brooms,
I don't know the Harry
yeah.
Potter. So anyways,
frogs,
that was happening
owls,
today.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. But tomorrow night, speaking of science fiction, those types of things, other worlds, we have the next installment of our Great American Read series. This is when we bring a bunch of authors and some community members and a couple scholars together to talk about books and why we read them. So tomorrow night is Other Worlds, and it's a conversation about sort of why we like to read science fiction, why we like to read fantasy, why are we drawn to things that take place in planets other than our own. We have an awesome bunch of folks. We have Jennifer Ho from the NC Institute for Arts and Humanities.
We had her on the air on Monday to talk about this.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
And then we have two authors, Scott Reinken, and then Jason Mott, who I think I talked about recently. He's mm-hmm. a North Carolina author who wrote his show, The Return, was made into a TV series. And we have somebody who works with the NASA Boys and Girls work, so it's going to be a really, really great program. That's at 6:30 tomorrow night.
Nice.
So while you're in the building, I'm just going to keep going. So while you're in the building tonight for the event or tomorrow night, check out right in front of the Bookie Monster in our lobby, our friends are doing their now annual Reader's Basket Raffle fundraiser. So there are 4, 5, or 6, somewhere in there, maybe 5, baskets full of great stuff. So there's books, like I'm looking at one that has books, wine, snacks, all kinds of things
wow.
in it. There's one that's all North Carolina and Southern, so that's got books, it's got a gift certificate to Crooks, it's got peanuts, it's got all kinds of things. There's 2 baskets that are themed for kids, so you can buy a raffle ticket for a couple bucks, support the friends, and maybe win a fabulous prize.
Love it. How long is that going on till?
Oh, Aaron, come on. No, it's live now. You can go down to the Friends bookstore and actually purchase the tickets. And then their big book sale is coming up the weekend after Labor Day, the 6th, 7th, 8th, 7th, 8th,
9th.
Whatever
date, yeah.
And so they will be selling tickets there, too. And then at the end of the book sale, they pull the winners.
Okay, awesome.
And then, but wait, Aaron, there's
more. Yes.
Our other great support group is our foundation, and they gave us a special distribution from the Cornelia Spencer Love Trust to fund the improvements on the terrace. Mm-hmm. So the awning is done.
Nice.
And it's amazing. And I believe this week, today, tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, the furniture comes.
Oh, nice.
So there's all kinds of things happening.
Is that going to be it when the furniture's in? Like, I know furniture's the awning
in,
was the big
awning's
deal.
Awning's in, the furniture's coming. And then they're going to put in like a window treatment because that's a pretty heavily used meeting rooms. So it's sort of this like semi-translucent window treatment. So you don't feel like if you're outside, you're in the meeting room or in the meeting that's happening in B, and there's less of a distraction if you're in the meeting room B to what's going on outside.
Okay.
Not that anybody would sit out there and like make goofy faces to disrupt the meeting.
No, of course not. Yeah. But if they did.
My children.
But
no, I'm kidding.
Did, yes.
So,
you're not kidding at all. Not
no.
even for a, not even a little bit.
So, I mean, there's more to tell, but that's the update right now.
Cool.
What's happening at the CHPL?
Speaking with Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library, we're talking books, so let's recommend some books for back to school time, right?
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right.
So do you know this about me? Like, I have this whole thing about books set on college campuses and at boarding schools.
I think we've talked about
it's
this
a
before.
Thing. So I got
you
like
you know the Harry Potter series is set at a boarding school.
Right? I know, right? It's weird. So I've got like 4,012 books that I could recommend. I am going to start. I started by thinking about college, back to school, the college version. And I want to recommend a book. It's a novel from a couple years ago, and it's called Admission. And the author is Jean Corletz. So it's sort of literary fiction, I would call it, in that vein. And the main character is a woman. She's in her middle ages. She's 40-ish. And she has had a long career as a college admissions officer at Princeton. But the title is a play on words because, so she works in admissions, but she also has a secret that she's been hiding. And so in the course of the novel, she has to admit something, make an admission about her past. I love this novel because of that play on words. Mm-hmm. It's very much character driven, and it gives you this inside look at the world of college admissions and the process and all of that. So I highly recommend Admission by Jean Corlitz.
Like that. Okay, so talking about boarding schools gets me thinking about Gordon Corman's series on McDonald Hall, which I know I've talked about before because I loved these books growing up, and I have not gone back to them, but I still have a couple of them, and I'm sure they still hold up to an extent, even for an adult reader. But this is a series that's set in Canada, Ontario, I think, about a boarding school called McDonald Hall, which is an all-boys school, but they've got an all-girls school across the street, and they interact with each other. And just the every single book is just covering a year in the life of that school, and it focuses on these two roommates named Bruno and Boots and just the adventures that they get into from year to year. The first one in the series Gordon Corman wrote when I think he was 12 or 13 years old. He was this prodigy who got this novel published about the headmaster. The two guys had gotten in trouble one too many times, and the headmaster decides to split them up and put them with other roommates and how they're scheming to get back together. There's another one where they're raising money to buy a pool for the school. There's another one where this new administrator comes in with all kinds of new technology ideas, but he's imposing them all on the school in a way that no one likes. They fight back against him. And every single book is just super fun and engaging, and a whole cast of really fun characters that are just enjoyable to be with for 200 pages. So Gordon Corman, McDonald Hall series.
So I have to tell you, way back, I don't even know how many years we've been doing this show, but back when the studio was still over at Weaver Dairy, it was the first couple of months that we did the show. We did a back to school episode. You mentioned that series and that first book, which is This Can't Be Happening at McDonald Hall,
yeah. And we probably had this exact same conversation where you said, I like books about boarding schools.
Right.
I've got books about boarding schools.
But I went home and I mentioned that book to my older son, and he immediately went and found it and loved it. So your recommendation, I don't think I ever shared that with you, but that was great. Okay, so my next one I was thinking about, okay, I love books about, like, set on campus and set at schools and in high school generally. And then I thought, what's my favorite TV show? Like, whenever I think about fictional high school settings, I think Freaks and Geeks, right?
Yeah,
one season, one of the best things to ever be on TV.
It's canceled before it has a chance to go downhill.
Right? Well, a great ending for the season, which ended up being a great ending for the series.
Lindsay
just everything
going off
about
and
it.
Following
I love
The Grateful Dead, yeah.
Right. So I wanted to recommend, so that was written by Paul Feig, who's written some great stuff. And I wanted to mention, and this was part of what it was pulled from, his nonfiction book called Kick Me. It's got great cover art. It's this awkward picture of him and his family from like the late 70s. But it's called Kick Me, Adventures in Adolescence. And it's if you like David Sedaris, if you like folks like that, you would definitely like this book. So it's everything. There's a great essay in there about his like sadistic gym teacher. Of course, there's like some sad adolescent romances. There's some Dungeons and Dragons in there. It's all in there. So if you liked Freaks and Geeks, if you went through high school ever, especially in the like late 70s, early 80s, I highly recommend Kick Me by Paul Feig.
I got to check that out.
It's so good.
Yeah, Freaks and Geeks is such a great show. So the inspiration has got to be fun to read.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to go with like the first one that I thought of when we were talking about, back to school books. What are some great books about school? Miss Nelson is Missing by Harry Allard. Mm-hmm. Allard, we'll go with that. Which is just the one of my favorite kids' books of all time, about the unruly class and the teacher who has a great idea for how to whip them into shape and get them in line. And it's just a brilliant, fun book that takes place over 20 pages. So, yeah, great for everyone.
So I'm going to see you.
All right.
That one.
This is our last one.
Yes,
so,
and I'm going to raise you.
Okay.
My all-time favorite kids' book about school, and it never gets old. I've reread it and read it with so many kids. Sideways Stories from Wayside School.
Yes. Oh, that's, yeah.
And then there's more Sideways Stories, and then there's Sideways Math.
Yeah.
Yes. And I will say that's one of the few ones. They did an animated series, and it wasn't awful. Like, it's rare that they can translate a classic book like that. But Sideways Stories from Wayside School is just an epic classic.
It still holds
up, too. It's so good.
So good. All right. That's it. Talking Books with Susan Brown. Thank you so much.
See you next week.